Morning, friends. Please have that passage open, page 1155, and please have the green outline that's in the bulletin in front of you, and so that you can follow along with what I'm saying. As Brian said, Tim's my name. If I haven't met you, welcome this morning. I'd love to meet you over morning tea, so please come up to me and say hi. Let's begin by asking God to help us. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can gather together with the scriptures open. We thank you so much that you speak to us and that this ancient word is your present word to us. Help us by your spirit to hear it this morning. We pray, Lord, that we might listen with obedient hearts. We pray that we might be changed even in these few moments that we have this morning. We ask this, that we might live lives to the glory of your name. Amen. There are lots of things in life which I can admire as beautiful, but have no idea how to create myself, no idea how to get there. Take graphic design as one example. I can look at a flyer, a brochure, and say, yeah, that's really nice. I really like that. I'm drawn to that. I'm attracted to that. But you would never get me to try to come up with a flyer. Take fashion as another example. I can look at clothes that somebody is wearing and saying, that suits you. That looks good. That's a good fit. But again, you would never get me to help somebody with their wardrobe. I'm a walking fashion disaster. When I go to the shops, normally I come home with my purchases, and Alison puts me in the car and turns me around and says, head back with those with the receipt in hand. It's not normally very successful. But I can recognize where I'd like to be. I can recognize beauty in all sorts of areas in life, and I wonder whether the Christian life is the same. I can look at somebody with a beautiful Christian life, the kind of things talked about here in Galatians 5. Somebody who lives a life of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And I can say, yes, that is a beautiful thing. I'd like that. Wow, that is glorious. In fact, as I was preparing, names came to mind. People further along in the Christian life. The kind of people who I look to and think, I'd like to be like them when I grow up. But how do I get there? I wonder, do you feel that way? Do you wonder how you might get to the beautiful Christian life, these things that are talked about as the fruit of the Spirit? So I'm really thankful that I've been able to think about this passage as I've prepared it. How to bear the fruit of the Spirit? What a great question for us to think about this morning. How to bear the fruit of the Spirit? And our passage, Galatians 5, gives us the answer. And I think what it tells us is that there are two ways not to bear the fruit of the Spirit and two ways to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Two negatives, two positives, which are on my outline. We're going to work our way through them together. And the first path that's not going to lead to a beautiful Christian life is the natural path. Our natural selves won't get us there, for our natural selves are sinful. So have a look with me, the first couple of verses. Grab a Bible. Everybody have a Bible. Follow along. Galatians 5, verses 16 and 17. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. Every Christian has the Spirit. I hope that we've learned this. I hope that you've got this as we've been working our way through our series on the Holy Spirit here on a Sunday and in our Bible study groups. If you are a Christian, you have the Spirit of God within you. Very important, very clear. In fact, let's have a look at it from Galatians. Flip over the page. So Galatians 3 from verse 13. We're on page top of page 1153. Galatians 3 from verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. If you're a Christian, you have the Spirit of God. Praise God. But if you're a spirit, you still have a nature. And you still have a sinful nature, which means that the Christian experience is like a game of tug of war. We've got the Spirit of God within us pulling in one direction. We've got our sinful nature pulling in the other direction. That's the experience of the Christian life. And if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you know this oh so well. Another illustration, being a Christian is a bit like being in a car where somebody is flooring the accelerator with their right foot and with their left foot they're slamming on the brake. That's how it feels, because that's exactly what's happening. The Spirit of God is moving us forward in this direction. Our sinful nature wants to go in the opposite direction and hold us back. That's life as a Christian. You see, our nature is sinful, and our nature is not a thing of beauty. Our nature won't produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It won't get us there. Do not depend on your natural self. Don't think that by cruising through life, going with the flow of what you feel and desire, your life will be a thing of beauty. It won't. William Golding's book, Lord of the Flies, is a wonderful study in what happens when people, children in this case, are left to their natural selves. When the normal constraints of society are just lifted, what happens? Murder and mayhem reign. It's war. If you want to have a beautiful Christian life, your natural self won't get you there. It's a false lead. So, should we put some rules in place? Should we restrain our natural selves with some laws? No. You see, if you're a Christian, well, you've been freed from the law. The law is another false lead, another path that won't get you there. Have a look at verse 18. Back to Galatians 5. Flip over the page again. Verse 18. If you are led by the Spirit, I think he means here if you're a Christian, if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under law. It's understandable to think that law would help us here, that if we put some laws in place, our life will look better, we'll be changed by law. And we do this all the time. We try to do this all the time. I mean, just to take one example, think of the carbon tax. One of the headlines this week, there will be a carbon tax. After years and years of debate and after some prominent political scalps, there now will be a carbon tax. It's been passed into law by the Senate. But why has the government done this? Regardless of what you think about climate science, the government has recognised that the big polluting companies aren't going to reduce their emissions out of the kindness of their own hearts. It's going to cost them too much money to do that. So what have they done? They've legislated, written a law, to impose a tax so that it costs money to pollute. They've used the law to restrain behaviour. But what the law doesn't do is cause internal change. It may bring about a change to external behaviour, but it's not going to change a heart. And the companies are just going to pass the tax on to the consumer anyway. It proves it. Laws don't bring about internal transformation. Law cannot change the human heart. Even the Mosaic law, the law of God, cannot change a person from within. It's an external constraint. It's not an internal force. It doesn't bring about internal transformation. And yet Christians can be tempted to go back to the law, or we can be tempted to be bullied by people telling us to go back to the law. And that was what was happening in Galatians. That's the context of this passage here. The problem was that people were coming along saying, you need the Mosaic law. You can't have this freedom in Christ. You need to go back to the law. You need to be circumcised and obey the Mosaic law. But what Paul says, and he gets furious at this point, he says that to do that is to actually deny Christ who has freed you from the law. Look at what he says in Galatians 5 verse 4. Galatians 5, 4, you who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. You see, one of the things the law does is to condemn us as sinners. But Christ has taken our sin by dying on the cross. Christ has absolved our guilt by taking the death penalty that we deserved. So if we're in Christ, we're free from the condemnation of the law. It has no place now, no force over us as law. And so Paul writes to these Galatians who are being bullied by people telling them to go back to the law and says, keep your freedom in Christ. Don't go back to the law. Galatians 5 verse 1, It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. So what have we seen so far? Nature won't get us to the beautiful Christian life. Law won't get us to the beautiful Christian life. The answer is to have the Spirit. That's the answer. That's the way to have a beautiful Christian life and bear the fruit of the Spirit. It's to have the Spirit of God, which is to be a Christian. You see, there are two types of people in life. There are Christians and there are non-Christians. There are those who commit acts of the sinful nature and those who bear the fruit of the Spirit. The first group, non-Christians, those who live by the acts of the sinful nature, they're described in verses 19 to 21. And have a look at the list. It's an ugly list. From verse 19, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warned you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's an ugly list. Let me just take one very quickly. Often we focus on the more public sins in a list like this, but look at jealousy for a moment. I mean, jealousy is getting sad or being unhappy when somebody else is doing well in life. Or jealousy is being happy when someone isn't doing well in life. I mean, how ugly, distorted, and twisted is that? That is this list here. That's the works of the sinful nature, the acts of the flesh. If we live like that, we're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. That's not Christians living like that. But Christians, on the other hand, have the Spirit. Christians have the Spirit of God, and it's a beautiful thing. I saw this yesterday in Men in Boats. What a great day I and a number of us had here, floating around in a boat on the Hawkesbury and on Pittwater. It was just a wonderful day. Now, at one level, it was an incredibly ordinary day and the kind of thing that any group of guys would enjoy. It was just a great formula, hanging out with mates on the water. What could possibly go wrong? So it was really ordinary, really fun. It was superb. On the other hand, there was something extraordinary that was happening because this group of guys were Christians. This group of guys are people who have the Spirit of God. And so it's an absolute joy to spend a day with guys like this. People are kind to one another. People are welcoming of each other. People embrace other people who might be different to them. People aren't jealous of each other, maybe a little bit competitive, perhaps. I was on the fastest boat. People care for each other. People speak kindly to each other. People don't swear. I mean, I think sometimes as Christians, we just don't have an eye for this anymore. We don't see the profound miracle of God's grace that it is to have the Spirit of God within us bearing fruit. But please have eyes to see it, for it is a profound and beautiful thing. Have a look at the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. There's something passive about this experience of having the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit, not of our own nature, it's the Spirit of God. God Himself produces this fruit or bears this fruit. God Himself creates this harvest within us. So it doesn't come from us, this beautiful Christian life. Now, that's the first thing to observe here. Secondly, the list itself. Some people have divided the list into three triads. And I think it's helpful to think about this. The first three seem to be God-focused, love, joy, peace. For the Spirit of God within us causes us to love and to delight in God. The second three, patience, kindness, goodness, seem to be other person focused, describing our relationships in our communities. And possibly the final three, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, seem to be self-focused, talking about the Spirit's work to restrain our sinful nature and cause us to possess self-mastery as we fight the flesh. I wouldn't want to press that too far. But what I would want us to see is that the fruit of the Spirit is comprehensive and complex. It's thorough. It's rich. This is the work of God in our lives. Another important observation, fruit here is singular. It's not the fruits of the Spirit. This is the fruit, singular, of the Spirit. You see, the Spirit doesn't produce a collection of different fruits, some of which I'm free to bear, but others I'll actually leave to other people to bear. Some of which I find a little bit easier, but others, well, yeah, I just haven't got around to those just yet, perhaps. No. The Spirit of God bears a fruit within us, or fruit within us, which looks like these nine things. The Spirit of God is not selective. The Spirit of God produces this fruit. The illustration I could come up with, use it if it's helpful for you, is a mandarin with segments. The Spirit bears the full fruit, which has these segments. Nine segments, this particular list here. The Spirit of God bears the whole lot. We can't leave out parts here. We can't leave out qualities here because the Spirit of God is not doing that in our lives. In other areas of the Christian life, there is great difference. I think of the gifts that Christ gives, the spiritual gifts. Some of us have gifts of music or of administration or of leadership or whatever it might be. That's really varied within the body of Christ. But the Spirit of God, the fruit that the Spirit of God is bearing, is a fruit that looks like this. So friends, the key to having the beautiful Christian life is to be a Christian, which means that you have the Spirit of God who bears fruit looking like this. And at this point, we should be greatly comforted, greatly encouraged. This is what God is doing within us. The Christian life isn't just pure lonely grit and determination. Me just fighting on my own, feeling hopeless, but just trying again and again and again. We have God Himself within us, by His Spirit, bearing fruit that looks like this. Be comforted, be encouraged, be thankful to God. But although the Spirit of God bears fruit within us, we are to be active. We are to be active. And this is my final point here. Keep in step with the Spirit. You see it in the last few verses. So follow along from verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. When we became a Christian, we crucified the sinful nature. It's describing repentance. It's describing turning our lives around. We put our sinful nature up on a cross. We crucified it. It's not actually dead yet. That's why we still battle with it, verses 16 and 17. We're not going to reach perfection in this life. But our sinful nature is up on the cross. We've turned our back on it. We're to have nothing more to do with it. We're not to go and draw the nails on our crucified sinful nature and try and get it off the cross. We're not to flirt with our sinful desires. We're not to indulge them. We're not to see where they lead us. And if we make a pattern of doing that, well, we must heed the warning of verse 21 that we won't inherit the kingdom of God. No, we've got to work hard at keeping in step with the Spirit. And so, yes, by God's grace, we bear the fruit of the Spirit, but we must work actively to keep in step with the Spirit. That's the great command of this passage. We must work hard. We must actively pursue love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So let me close. What have I said? Nature won't produce a beautiful Christian life. We won't get there just by kicking back and cruising. Law won't lead to a beautiful Christian life. If you're a Christian, well, you're no longer under the law. You've left that behind as law. The answer is to have the Spirit of God, to be a Christian and to have the fruit-bearing Spirit within you, and then to keep in step with the Spirit. A couple of implications of this are, first, let's be humble. I hope that you can be encouraged, that you can look at your life and look back over your life and see that the Spirit of God has been at work. I hope that you can see that God's Spirit has borne this fruit over time. But at that point, don't become proud. This is the fruit of the Spirit of God. Be humble. Be thankful. But then secondly, work hard. Well, one thing that'll help is to learn the fruit of the Spirit. This wouldn't be a bad couple of memory verses, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. We need to know what the Spirit of God is doing within us. We need to know where our lives are heading so that we can keep in step with the Spirit. Learn it and then work at it. Fight that fight. Work hard. Struggle and strive. If your Christian life is feeling really easy, and if it has just felt easy all the way along, can I suggest that that's possibly because you're not working hard at keeping in step with the Spirit and putting to death the sinful nature? That's not the normal experience of the Christian life. The normal experience for the person who has the Spirit of God is that they're working really hard. They're struggling against the sinful nature, and it's painful. But friends, it's meant to be painful. It's going to be painful until glory. Work hard, take up the battle, fight the fight to put to death our crucified sinful nature and to pursue the fruit of the Spirit which God in His grace is bearing in our lives. At the time of the Reformation, there were a group of people, this is the 16th century, there were a group of people who were saying that the Christian life, the life in the Spirit, should be a cruise. You know, that's what God's Spirit does within you. And so if you're filled with the Spirit, it'll be easy. And John Calvin, one of the great reformers, rebuked this group of people very strongly and said that they've got it all wrong. The Christian life is a struggle. And let me quote what he said about life in the Spirit, life for those who bear the Spirit of God. Far removed from perfection, we must move steadily forward. And though entangled in vices, daily fight against them. We must shake off sloth and carelessness and watch with intent minds, lest unaware we be overwhelmed by the stratagems of the flesh. It's a long, long, hard slog. And you'd be mad to take it on, except that God, by His Spirit, is on our side and within us, bearing His fruit. Let's pray together. Please join me. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for our Lord Jesus Christ and His death on the cross, redeeming us from the curse of the law. And Father, we thank You that You have graciously given us Your Spirit and that Your Spirit does this wonderful work in our lives of bearing such beautiful fruit. Father, we pray that our lives would look like this. Father, we pray that Your Spirit would be powerfully active in the lives of all of us here. And Father, please help us to continue the long, hard struggle against sin and be active in pursuing the fruit of the Spirit. Help us to reflect individually on what this will mean for ourselves, where we do need to repent. And Father, help us to not give up, we pray. We pray that You would strengthen us and give us endurance, that we might all be there on that last day when Christ returns. And we pray it in His name and for His glory. Amen.